God's word with you in these unusual days. Our theme today is God, the Unlimited One. And probably this could be a 3 or 4 part message, but I'll limit it to one, I guess. I'd like you to open your Bibles and also have a hymn book handy, okay? You won't have to sing without the helpers up here. Well, that really helps, doesn't it? But we do want to look at the words of a song in a few minutes. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from verses 14 to 21. And we will come back to this passage in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might with his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. You may remember signs like this from about a year ago. I remember that craziness, don't you? Whether you were, there might be a couple in our congregation that would remember rationing from way back in the World War II, or even in the 70s, I think it was, when we had gas rationing and you could only go on a certain day of the week. So this wasn't the first time that stuff like this happened. We get kind of used to those things, but like it or not, human life is peppered with boundaries and restrictions and limitations. In Psalm 90, verse 10, it says this: the days of our lives are 70 years. That's a limit, isn't it? Maybe 80, according to the next line. And some get a little longer than that. But what does it say? Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, life is short, isn't it? Life is limited, physically speaking. And that is something that we have come to realize. I don't know if we appreciate, but we realize that there are lots of common limits that we face. We could probably each come up with a different one here very easily. Limits like speed limits, okay? We have time limits. I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock without my glasses on, okay? I think of weight limits, not for us, of course, but for trucks, you know, going over bridges. Age limits when it comes to who can do this and that and driving and so forth. Term limits, spending limits. If you have a budget, you're going to have some spending limits. Capacity limits, that's been in the news again, hasn't it? These are limits that have been imposed upon us, generally speaking. We don't have the freedom to just speed as fast as we want to go, and so forth. But there are also, I think I'm using the right term here, there are intrinsic limits. Those things that are natural. Those things are a part of us, not on a sign out there somewhere, but they are a part of who we are. And they may change a bit over time, but such as strength. Not everybody is a, you know, an Olympic athlete that can lift, you know, 700 pounds or whatever they lift these days. I don't know. Or to run, you know, the 100 meter in less than 10 seconds or less than, I think somebody will ever break 9. I don't know about that. But anyway, some have amazing strength, but even that is limited. Our intellect is limited. Don't they say that we, for most people, they only use about 10% of their brain anyway? But isn't it something that some people actually are smarter than others? And that's okay. I certainly make no claims to having great intellect. It's just part of how I am. We have various kinds of giftedness. Not everybody is gifted as a pianist. Not everybody is gifted as a guitar player. And I realize that that took effort and took practice, but not everybody has a musical skill. So those are differences, and they are, yet for some we may feel limited that we can't do those things because of physical and intellectual abilities. We are all made up of, or at least inside of our cells are these genes, right? Genes that affect our size and shape and hair color and all those things. And those may result in what some people feel are limitations. Certainly, there are times when we feel like we are limited in our knowledge. Our trustees are working on the roof out here, and we keep saying, well, what do you think? And what do you think? And, you know, which is the best way to do it? And should we do it this way? You know, our knowledge is limited. We're trying to do it right, and I think we're coming up with a good plan. But there are frustrations, you know, in our own lives because of limitations. And I don't want to spend so much time on that, but I think I want to emphasize now a contrast to God. We as human beings are limited. And yet, in great contrast, God has no limits. I'm going to leave that there a moment, right? Do you believe that? Believe that God is unlimited in many different ways? Let's just take a moment to go to Romans chapter 11. Excuse me. Yes, Romans chapter 11. And the last few verses of that chapter. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who can become his counselor? Or who has given to him that it should be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, even the proudest person in the world would have to admit that they can't live up to this, right? They can't live up to these qualifications, these characteristics of a totally unlimited God. Neither imposed nor intrinsically a part of his character. I was chuckling a bit this past week when I heard a little clip on the news about high-fiving going on at NASA. NASA had, as you know, several months ago, sent a probe up to Mars. And this past week, on the 20th of April, they did an experiment, and they had a little machine there that was a part of this probe thing. And they manufactured Over an hour's time, they manufactured out of the carbon dioxide atmosphere in the atmosphere of Mars, they manufactured 10 minutes worth of oxygen for a human being. So in an hour's time, they made some oxygen out of what was there. And they were pretty excited about that. And now what they need is, I won't go into all the detail. I read up on it a little bit, and they're thinking that they can get a machine up there that can make enough oxygen that they can store, so when people get there, they'll have enough to come back. We won't go into NASA's studies here, but they manufactured oxygen. Well, you know, big deal. I mean, God just said, there will be oxygen, and there was. Enough for everybody wherever I want it to be. If he didn't want it somewhere else, he didn't put it there. But if he wanted it there, he would put it there. Or he could have, right? He's unlimited. God's nature is unlimited. It is unlimited power and authority. I'd love to be able to talk more about each one of these, but I want to just remind you before we get to our passage of interest today and study. He has unlimited wisdom and comfort and provision and peace and grace and mercy and love. We sang about that today, didn't we? And some of my favorite songs we sang, the deep, deep love of Jesus. I didn't tell you this earlier, but did you notice Ephesians chapter 3 about the significance of us learning more and more about the love of Christ? And we've sung about that today. He wants to partner with you. Right, here I am, the limited one, and God wants to do what? He wants to partner with you in his unlimited nature. He wants to live through you to do the things that your limitations will prohibit you from doing. I'd like to think about that in the area of theology first, just a quick study from Ephesians 3. But just before we get to that, there is another song that probably some of you don't know too well, but it's in our hymn book. It's number 125. And I'd like to just mention the words to that song. We've got them in our next slide here. He giveth more grace, number 125. And take a moment here to look at the verses themselves talk about some of our weakness and our struggle, our limitations. But notice the chorus, the refrain, it says, his love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. True or false? That's true, isn't it? Every one of those statements, that his love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. Why? Because he is complete. He has no shortages. He has no limitations. And maybe another Sunday we can sing that song, okay? Unless you want to try it at the end, but I didn't want to throw that on you. Anyway, we could talk about love having no limits. I mentioned earlier, but Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. John 10, greater love is no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. 1 John chapter, much of 1 John, but it talks about what? In chapter 3, beloved, now we are the sons of God. and hath not yet appeared what we shall, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He has adopted us into his family. Us limited people, that what could we offer to him except that he can work in us to bring him glory and bring us joy. So he wants to work in us, and he gives us his love, and his grace has no measure. We could go to many passages. In particular, I'm thinking of Ephesians 2, where while we were dead in sins, what happened? Christ made us alive. For by grace we have been saved through faith. So we could go to Colossians chapter 1 as we think about the power of God. And thinking of Jesus as the creator. Look what it says, kind of covering a couple of these things. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Talking about Jesus, right? For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Wow, what a powerful passage about Jesus and his unlimited nature and his power to create. We think of the power for the Red Sea miracle. We think of his defeat of Satan over and over in his ministry, and ultimately the defeat of sin and Satan in his timing. We have the infinite riches of Jesus. And I'd like to now get us to that passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul says in verse 14, for this reason. Now, when you see that, you ought to say, well, then what's the reason? You go backwards a little bit and maybe a little bit more. And we could go through the whole first three chapters, but I'm not going to do that. But in particular here, he's referring to something that God did in him. Paul, though he was amazing, as we see what God did through him, Paul had his limitations, didn't he? Paul initially was very involved in a religion and was even against Christianity, wasn't he? And yet, to Paul, let's go back to verse 8, because I think this is the initial context anyway, of for this reason I bow my knees. What was the reason? Because to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, what's that? That's limitation, isn't it? He feels, he senses, I am just a normal person. I'm not somebody special. This grace, which is what? Unlimited, was given to me, that I should preach along among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So there's preaching among other people, in particular the Gentiles. The what? Unsearchable riches of Christ. Something that's unlimited, isn't it? The gospel is something. The riches of Christ is beyond our imagination. It's more than we can figure out. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, well, let me read on, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What's he saying here? He's saying, the infinite God gave me a message that none of us would have figured out. Man didn't come up with the gospel, God did. Man didn't come up with a way to reach God. God did. We were limited because of sin. We were limited because we're human beings. And yet God makes it possible for us to know who He is and His plan and His purpose, His mystery. The mystery of people getting saved, both Jews and Gentiles, is a part of His thinking here. According to His eternal purpose. Is that limited? Eternal? That's not a limited word, is it? No, it's an unlimited word. And all through this passage, it's just this contrast between human limitations and God's amazing, unlimited person and His work, in whom we have boldness. Now he's back to himself again. What was he otherwise? If it weren't for the Lord, he would have fear. He would have tension. He would have stress. But we have boldness and access with confidence through him, through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you. What also was limited? Paul was writing from where? Prison, right? And they were concerned. And yet he's saying what? Don't lose heart about that. That's only temporary. This tribulation in this world, it's only temporary. So trust me and trust God that you can trust him. Well, now we finally get to verse 14, right? That's the background to what he's saying. So for this reason, what does he do? He starts to pray. And he wants to pray for the whole church family, for those in Ephesus and those in Colossae and those for all around the country and everywhere that he knew there were believers and even didn't know. He was praying for the church family. Why? And for what way? That he would grant, look at verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Who's he writing to? A bunch of limited people. People that didn't get it. People that were confused. People that were maybe being tricked by some false teacher. And he says what? He says, I am praying for you according to the limited riches of God. Heavens, no, right? No, for the full riches of Christ. And this is where it gets difficult, doesn't it? Here is this perfect, amazing, unlimited God, and here is this me, you know, individual who struggles and is very limited, and how do these two things come together? And that's the amazing mystery of the gospel, is that God takes his truth and he gets into our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit and his word. And he begins to make us like Jesus Christ, who is what? Unlimited. Now, when I depend on myself, I am limited. When I depend on my Savior, he will do things through me and in me. I guess I should put it first in me and then through me, that could not have been done by any human being. So we read on, and what's the next part of this? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, this is verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. What's he trying to do? He's trying to take something that is unlimited and try to put some sort of a shape to it, right? And yet it's forever that way and forever that way and forever that way and forever this way. Every direction. It's more than we can grasp, and yet it's something we can grasp. That's a mystery, isn't it? And it's something that he's praying for them and for us to know the love of Christ. And we know that's what it's about because that's what verse 19 says, right? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, again, unlimited, but we can know something about it. We don't have to be stuck in our limitation of ignorance as simple human beings, but rather he will do something in us and that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then this very familiar verse, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. With limitation? No. He is able, he, the unlimited one, is able to do great and wonderful things in us and through us. And it says, according to the power that works in us. Interesting to just make a simple note here. And I guess, did I have any of this up here? Yeah. The unlimited Trinity enables us to rise above our limitations. Did you notice the whole Trinity is listed in here? The Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all here in just the first couple of 14 through 16. We have this God, this unlimited God, who will enable us to be strong in the Lord. You know, how could Paul say what he says in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Because God makes that power available to us to be able to fight our spiritual battles and actually have victory, not in our own strength, but in his. So, having gone through chapter 3, verse 13 through 21, that's the basic theology of this passage here. It's the theology of here's what God has done and here's what he wants to do in us and what he can do. Paul's experience was that of following a human way. And remember what God, the Lord said to him? On the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Isn't it hard for you? Aren't you getting bugged by finding defeat all the time? Because your plan is limited. Your plan is against mine, and it's not going to work. So he realizes that what God has done in his life, Paul's experience, and so he prays. And I'd like to just finish up then with an example, all right? You probably all know the story of Philemon, don't you? If you just go over a couple more pages here, just before the book of Hebrews, we have this little letter that Paul wrote to a guy named Philemon, who happened to have a church that was in his house, probably the church of Colossae. And Paul writes to him as a beloved friend and fellow laborer. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer. Paul says that a lot, doesn't he? Of course, he was in prison and he was had a lot of time on his hands, we might say. And maybe that's what God needs to put me sometimes, because I get too busy and I don't spend that time in prayer for everybody like Paul did. Not that I'm trying to compare myself to him, but certainly prayer is vital, isn't it? Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, how can a guy named Philemon or a guy named Will, or a guy named John, or anybody else, have that verse describe them? Isn't that impossible? To have a love and a faith toward the Lord and all the saints? I mean, there's a few wackos out there, aren't there, that get us ticked off once in a while. How do we love those people? And when we don't understand what God's doing, and why does God allow COVID, and why did somebody, you know, so many people be sick this week and couldn't come? You know, does God know what he's doing? And yet I keep on, to keep on loving him then? I had a lousy day on, what was it? What day? Friday? I won't go over the whole detail, but I was, what do you call it? I was in a funk. Okay. And I didn't want to work on this sermon. I was all excited about it the night before. Friday, I came back in the afternoon. I worked at the shop, and then I did some other stuff before and after that. And I just didn't want to, it just didn't make any sense. What am I talking about here? And I was kind of bugged about some people and situations. So I went to my place of quietness. And I went over to Stony Point Camp. And I sat up there, and there were a few rocks left that I hadn't put in the wall on Wednesday. So I went over there all by myself, and I just started laying stone again. And I was, you know, kind of getting it out of my system. And then Tom comes along, of course. You know, he's the ever-present camp director. He was there. And so we talked a little bit about it, and we prayed together. And God began to kind of wake me up again and get me out of that limitation idea that, oh, I just can't do this, and I can't keep up with everything. And God says, you know, I can. So why don't you just let me take care of these things and bring the ideas to you that weren't going to come today because you were thinking about your limitations and your struggles. You see, to love and to forgive is divine, isn't it? It's not something that is a part of the human nature. It is part of God's nature that he shares with us so that we can do that. And as we've thought about these songs earlier and the love of God, he can produce that in us. So, doing the impossible. He goes on, and the rest of the story is what Paul says now. Philemon, my buddy, I've got a situation. We've got a situation. We have a common friend. Well, it was a friend to me. I'm not sure about you yet. But this guy, Onesimus, who stole from you and took off, guess what? I came across him in Rome, and he got saved, and he is now a brother. And I've sent him back with this letter, and probably the letter to the Colossian church as well. And he says what? I want you to forgive him and treat him just like me, your friend. Now, how does somebody do that in our limited ability to love? Because he is doing what? He is resting in the power of God. That's what Paul is asking him to do. Don't be stuck in your limitation, but be refreshed by the working of the Holy Spirit and receive him back, verse 12. I'm sending him back to you. Therefore, receive him as if you would receive me. And as far as we know, that happened because some of church history indicates that Onesimus, the sinner, the stealer, the robber, became the pastor of the church at Colossae after a few years. Now, that's the grace of God, isn't it? Beyond degree. So, perhaps verse 15, this is good. The eternal relationship. Perhaps he has departed for a while for the purpose that you might receive him forever. How long does our relationship with Christ last? Forever. How long does our relationship with each other as believers last? Forever. So let's enjoy it now, right? And let's use God's ability to enable us to live for him. knowledge of the truth should make us or lead us to action. I've pulled a little verse, a third of a verse out of the book of Daniel. I won't go over all the context of it, but I think it's legitimate here, okay? It says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great things. So my closing question is, how well do we know God? Do we see Him as just this good helper? Or do we see Him as this totally unlimited, loving creator of the universe who wants to live through us so that we might be like Philemon and welcome sinners into God's family? I'm going to stop there. Let me just one other verse. Colossians 3:2. Just back a couple of pages. And if you don't have this one memorized and underlined, let's do this together, okay? Colossians 3:2. Let's go back to verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. There are a lot of things that we can dwell on and meditate on. And many of those things are our own limitations and the neighbor's limitations and the church's limitations and the government's limitations. And we can focus on all that stuff, can't we? But rather than focusing on all those weaknesses, let us be examples that exhibit the unbelievable, unlimited nature of God, who are known for our faith and trust. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to think on You, and we thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us, that we are objects of Your great compassion and power to change our lives and to build our confidence in You. Father, use Your word. Thank You that we can live as Christ lived. We can speak as He spoke. We can love as He loved. And Father, use us today and throughout this week for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.